grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel read on this Lord's Day, the first chapter of St. Luke, verses 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." This last Sunday before Christmas comes has often been called the Sunday of expectation. The Sunday of expectation, as we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On Christmas Eve, we shall, as always, hear the wonderful story of our Savior's birth, as recorded for us by St. Luke. And then, on Christmas Day, we shall, as always, hear the wonderful prologue to St. John's Gospel. St. Luke tells us what happened. You probably know those familiar words with which St. Luke begins the story of Jesus' birth. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Those words, "and it came to pass," actually mean "it happened." It happened. St. Luke tells us what happened. But it is St. John who, in the prologue to his gospel, shows us the great meaning of what happened. St. John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of God in the flesh and blood, the very humanity that is yours and mine. Remember how John's prologue begins. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The eternal Word of the Father, his eternal Son, became flesh and dwelt among us. And if you ask, when did the Word become flesh? The answer is not when he was born in Bethlehem. The answer is, the Word became flesh when, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was conceived 9 months before in the womb of the lowly Virgin Mary. That was the moment when the eternal Son of God, his eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. with Mary's assent to the angel's message that she had been chosen out of all the women who ever lived to be the mother of the Father's eternal Son and Word. The Word was made flesh. A great and mighty wonder, a mystery beyond all understanding, but a mystery hidden in the familiar stuff of daily life. For as that lowly maiden Mary went about her daily tasks in her humble home in Nazareth, cooking and cleaning, doing the wash, and all the necessary tasks of daily life, Mary was carrying the eternal God in her body. For pious Jews like Mary, the great temple in Jerusalem was the place where God's presence was known and adored. But in those 9 months from Jesus' conception to his birth, Mary was, in the most real sense, herself the living temple of God. A great and mighty wonder, a mystery beyond understanding, a mystery hidden in the familiar stuff of daily life. Now, none of the gospel writers tell us very much about these 9 months between Jesus' conception in Mary's home in Nazareth and his birth in Bethlehem. But St. Luke does tell us, as we heard in the gospel read on this day, that having received the angel's message, Mary quickly went to see her cousin Elizabeth, the expectant mother of John the Baptist, who'd been conceived in Elizabeth's womb 6 months before this. And when she heard the greeting of Mary, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Elizabeth twice acclaims Mary blessed. And Mary herself exclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." When the angel Gabriel came to Mary to bring her the news that God had chosen her to be the mother of his son, Gabriel had said, "Rejoice, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Mary's cousin Elizabeth twice acclaims her blessed. And Mary herself prophesies that all generations will call her blessed, as we just sang in that lovely carol. Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head. "To me be as it pleases God," she said. And Christian folk throughout the world shall ever say, "Most highly favored Lady, Gloria." Mary is a most highly favored lady, favored by God the Father, who has done great things for her in making her the Virgin Mother of God the Son. Mary is truly a virgin and truly a mother. Her Son is truly God and truly man. So if we ask, who is conceived in Mary's womb? The answer is, God is conceived in Mary's womb. And if we ask, whom did Mary carry in her womb? The answer is that Mary carried God in her womb. And if we ask, to whom did Mary give birth? The answer is, she gave birth to God. And that is why the Universal Church has called her the woman who gave birth to God. The woman who gave birth to God. And our Lutheran Church, in the confessions which express our Church's faith, has this to say: we believe, teach, and confess that Mary, the most blessed Virgin, conceived and bore not only a plain, ordinary, mere man, but the veritable Son of God. For this reason, she is rightly called and truly is the Mother of God. Dr. Luther had this to say about Mary's words, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." Luther writes, "Mary is unable to find a name for this work. All she can do is break out in the fervent cry, 'They are great things, impossible to describe or define.' Hence people have crowded all her glory into a single word, calling her the Mother of God. No one can say anything greater of her or to her, though he had as many tongues as there are leaves on the trees, or grass in the fields, or stars in the sky, or sand by the sea. It needs to be pondered in the heart what it means to be the Mother of God. It needs to be pondered in the heart what it means to be the Mother of God." So in these last hours before Christmas comes, let us ponder this great mystery. The mystery of God become man when, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus our Savior was conceived in Mary's womb. Mary, who for 9 long months was, in the most real sense, the living temple of God. You and I are in another and no less real sense, also living temples of God. Because God's Holy Spirit came to dwell in us when we were baptized and continually preserves us in faith and in hope, in him who is both Mary's child and God and Lord of all. By his conception and birth, by his baptism, fasting, and temptation, by his cross and passion, by his precious death and burial, by his glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he has saved us. And so with Blessed Mary, we praise and worship him, saying, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.